Welcome to the 24th installment of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will continue with our discussion of positive commandment number 5, which is the commandment of prayer. The Rambam quotes 4 verses as a biblical source for this commandment. However, none of these 4 explicitly mention the requirement of prayer. They all use the lashon of aveda, literally service, to serve Hashem. This includes all of the commandments, in fact. One must serve God by fulfilling all of the positive commandments and from not doing any of the prohibitions. However, as such, none of these verses would constitute a separate one of the 613 commandments. This is in consonance with the 4th introductory principle, which the Rambam brought in his legal code, indicating how he determined which verses are included in the 613 commandments. Anytime we have a verse, which is a commandment for the entire Torah, such as to walk in the path of Hashem, or to keep his ways, and so on, all of these verses, since they are commandments on the entire Torah, cannot count as an individual one of the 613 commandments. So too, we might think these verses, which command us to serve Hashem, also should be like these commandments. A tzivui klali, a general command, and therefore should not be counted. In this case, however, the Rambam tells us that it is counted as a commandment, because it is not only a general commandment, but has a specific detail which we learn from this word to serve. The Talmud tells us that which is aveda shebelev, how do we serve Hashem using our heart? Zehu tfila, this is referring to prayer. As the Sifri says that the idea of aveda refers to prayer, and to Torah as well. Torah we have another verse for, but tfila is the positive commandment number 5 which we learn from these verses. The Rambam then quotes the teaching of Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yisa Glili, who asks, where do we learn that Torah is prayer is included among the mitzvahs, and quotes one of the verses that we should serve Hashem. From this we learn that it is included among the biblical commandments, at least according to the count of the Rambam, that prayer every day is a biblical requirement. And so too the Rambam quotes our sages who say we must serve Hashem by learning His Torah and serve Him by in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple. How do we serve in the Beis HaMikdash? As King Solomon said, regarding the building of the temple in his times, that if possible one should pray in the Beis HaMikdash. When this is impossible, one should pray facing the Beis HaMikdash. And that all of our prayers should be directed towards a common place, the holiest place on earth, the Holy of Holies, and from there ascend to the heavens to be accepted by Hashem. We should be extremely careful with our prayers, to learn the translation of the words if possible, and to pronounce every word clearly. As stated in books of Musar, that through every word of prayer, another angel is created. However, if God forbid a word is not said clearly, we could imagine what sort of crippled angels are created, God forbid. And this should lead us to say the words clearly and to try to understand the words and say them with feeling. Nevertheless, should a person be incapable of pronouncing the words clearly, due to a lack of education, for example, the Medrash tells us in Shir HaShirim that Hashem still accepts the prayers graciously and listens to them as if they were pronounced clearly. If, for example, a person even says, instead of the Ahavta, that you shall love God, the person says, Vayevta, that you shall despise God, if it is said with the proper feeling and intention, and the person mispronounces it out of ignorance, nevertheless his prayers will be accepted. Elsewhere in the Talmud, though, it says that one should be extremely careful to distinguish between a Dalet and a Resh. For example, in the end of the Shema, of the first verse, one says Hashem Echad with a Dalet. Should one say Resh, it would mean Acher. Instead of one God, it would mean Hashem is another God. Chas v'sholem. Such a person could destroy worlds, say our sages. And so too it says, do not bow down to any other gods, acher. Should one say a dalet instead, echad, which would mean one should not bow down to Hashem echad, chas v'sholem to say such a thing. One should be extremely careful, therefore, to pronounce things properly. In addition, a proper preparation is necessary that the prayers should be with a true feeling. The famed Chassid Rebbe Kusil Leffler is famous for a number of things. Among them was his complete inability to understand spiritual matters. And he was extremely unhappy and of a low spirit as a result of his inability to learn such lofty concepts. However, as a result of applying himself, Rebbe Kusil Leffler eventually became the greatest intellectual of the Chassidim, and could understand tremendously deep and refined concepts. It was said that he used to daven all three prayer services one after another, that he would be so involved in his closeness and his cleaving to Hashem in Shachris, he would daven the entire day, and when he would start very early in the morning and daven the entire day. When he finally finished the morning prayers, it was time for the afternoon prayers. And again, his prayers lasted so long that by the time he finished, it was time for the evening prayers. Then he would conclude the evening prayers and go to eat his first meal of the day. The relative merits of short prayer as opposed to longer prayer have always been discussed. The Talmud in Bracha tells us about a student who once led the prayer service before Rabbi Eliezer, and he took a very long time to daven. The student said, what a long time this person took to daven. Rabbi Eliezer said to them, he's not even as long as Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moses, when he went up on the mountain to pray for forgiveness as a result of the golden calf, it says in the Pasuk that Moshe prayed there for 40 days and 40 nights. Therefore, this student really wasn't so long. Along came another student and davened before Rabbi Eliezer, and davened very, very quickly for a short period of time. And the students again complained, how short a davener was this person? And he said, this is short. This is not even as short as Moshe Rabbeinu, who when praying for his sister Miriam said, Kael nor afon Allah, and that was the entire prayer, Hashem, please heal her. So this person was not such a short service in his prayer. He did not have such a short prayer. It partially depends on what sort of preparation the person needs. There was once a Rebbe who was observed to have davened very, very quickly. And his students asked him, Rebbe, why do you daven so fast? And he says, for me the words of prayer are so enjoyable. I cannot wait to get to the next word. However, other people need somewhat of a preparation before they can reach such an elevated state. There was once a discussion said to have taken place between a group of Pelash Chassidim, who davened very quickly, and Chabad Chassidim, who stressing more Chabad, Chochma Bina Vadas, the intellectual aspects and service of Hashem, would concentrate longer on their prayer service and try to integrate their understanding into their heart and make it part of their essential being to affect them in their daily lives intellectually and spiritually and emotionally. The Polish Chassidim complained and said, how could you daven for such a long time? You probably have all sorts of alien thoughts that your evil inclination will get the best of you. It's better to daven in a hurry so the thoughts will not have a chance to disturb your prayer. We'll give you an example. If you're riding in a wagon and the thieves are trying to jump on the wagon, it's much better to drive through quickly, go through at a high speed, and they will have no chance to jump on. So too, it's better to rush through your prayers, and then the evil thoughts will not have a chance to get in. The Chabad Chassid answered him, that's very good if the thieves are trying to jump on the wagon, and you're driving through and they're trying to get on. What, however, if the thief is already on the wagon? Then you have to throw him off, and it takes a long time to throw a thief off the wagon. So too, if the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is not in you and you're just trying to avoid him, then you can daven quickly. But we are trying to refine, to train our evil inclination, to improve ourselves and purify our emotions and our feelings and our relations with other people, to totally purify our existence and make it a godly existence. For this, you cannot do it quickly. It takes a great deal of time. A chassid of the Baal Shem Tov once discussed this idea of negative thoughts in the middle of prayer. One time he had reached a very elevated level in his service of Hashem in the middle of his prayer service. He was holding on a high spiritual level. And suddenly a thought came to him. How can you pray like this, shamelessly before Hashem, when you are so full of sin? Look how low you are, and you are praying to Hashem. He immediately came down from his elevated state and pondered on this thought and said, how could it actually be? Here I am in such a holy state, and I am not such a holy person. But then he thought to himself, where is this thought coming from? It must be coming from my evil inclination. Why? Because if it is a holy thought, why doesn't it come to me while I'm eating? Why in the middle of my eating do I suddenly not come to think how what a sinner I am and how low I am? When I'm in the middle of davening, when I'm in the middle of serving God, then he starts thinking about how low I am. This must be one of the tricky devices of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. And so the Alter Rebbe tells us in Tanya in the 28th chapter that one should not think that his prayer is worthless as a result of alien thoughts entering his mind during the prayer service. The opposite is actually true. First of all, if the person is bothered by such thoughts, he is actually displaying his arrogance. He thinks that he is a tzaddik, and he should not be having any evil thoughts. Whereas, in reality, a tzaddik is someone who is not only acting properly, but is entirely killed and destroyed or converted his Yetzer Hara. He no longer has an evil inclination, and therefore he is no longer having such thoughts. Unless, as discussed there, they're coming from someone else. He can actually be disturbed by somebody else's unwanted thoughts. However, if the person still has a Yetzer Hara, an evil inclination, he should expect to have such thoughts, as long as he has not ridded himself completely of the Yetzer Hara. What is his job? To immediately push these thoughts out of his mind and come back to concentrate on his tefillahs, on his prayer. These thoughts should actually show the person that not that his prayer is worthless. The opposite is true. An example can be brought from two people that wrestle. That when one person tries to make an attempt to throw down the other, then the other one starts to react in a strong manner, to fight back with a much stronger effort. So too, once you see the evil inclination is fighting back through throwing thoughts into the mind, this is a sign that one has expended great effort and one's tefillah. That you are like the wrestler who is starting to show great inroads, and therefore the Yetzer Hara returns by making its efforts. But in fact, this is a sign of the high value of your prayers, rather than the lowness of your prayers. But one should not blame oneself for having such thoughts, and one should not dwell in them, as one could imagine. Let's say a wicked guy would come to disturb you in the middle of your prayers and yell at you and scream at you and say, why are you davening? What are you doing this for? It would be a hopeless effort to stop in the middle of one's prayers and start arguing back. I should be praying. Rather, one should merely close one's eyes and concentrate more intensely on one's prayers, and therefore nullify the effect of this disturbance, and have the desired effect of Yisra Na'or Min HaChoshech, an advantage of light which comes from darkness, that these attempts of the Yetzer Hara will not only not disturb the prayer, but spur one on and encourage one to have an even stronger and more intense concentration in the middle of their tefillah. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow for a continuation of the laws of prayer.